Okay, well, in that case, let's just get started, because otherwise we won't have time to debuff. So this is quite dangerous, because I've never programmed wearing a suit in my life. So this is, for me, a first time as well, so that's why I'm a little bit nervous. And, you know, with a lot of developers in the room, and I don't actively develop anymore, so it's... something will go wrong in my demo, and I will need your support to get me, to get me through this.
Pay attention and see if you mistype something.
Yeah. That often happens, yeah.
It's a slightly different disclaimer than we're
used to. Yeah, I should put it on my slides, yeah. Disclaimer, my demo will crash.
That's a good idea.
All right. So I started Servoy with four other guys 13 years ago. And so we've been around for not as long as Progress, but quite some time. And the reason I started Servoy is that I found it too difficult to deliver great business applications over the internet. So looking at the 4GLs back then, including Progress, they were great for desktop apps, for Windows applications. In a very productive way, you could take your thoughts and convert it into software. And I love doing that. I'm a long-time business application developer myself. And then my customers started asking me for internet-based applications, and they made me do that in Java. And I terribly hated, and still hate, programming in Java. Because you have to do everything from scratch. All the stuff that is very boring you have to do, like building a UI, like programming a UI and all those kind of things. So I thought, why is there no 4GL for the internet? And we looked around, we looked very hard, we couldn't find a 4GL for the internet. So we decided we're going to build one ourselves. And I thought that's very easy to do. You build it, you put it online, you add a shopping cart to it, and you become a millionaire. 2 years later, I found out it doesn't work that way. But I'm still having fun, though. So Servoy now is about 100 people worldwide, and we mainly focus on business applications, so, and typically complex business applications. So if you're looking for a tool to develop very simple apps, then you know maybe other simpler technologies may be better well-suited. Servoy is really for complex business applications. And we have a very strong adoption in different 4GL markets. So Progress is one of them, but we also have a strong adoption from the FoxPro market, from the Delphi developers, VB developers. And the reason for that is that the way of programming in Servoy is very similar to the 4GLs, but you get very powerful internet-based applications. The Progress developers that are using Servoy today, and I've talked to, find it very easy to learn Servoy, so they say that the learning curve is very steep. This is time, because you learn it very quickly. It's always tricky when you say steep learning curve, isn't it? So they find it very, ABL programmers find it very easy to learn and work with Servoy. But you'll see today, because I'm actually going to write and create a small application and then deploy it. One thing I won't have time for is to hook up to an existing piece of ABL code. But the good news is I did that a few weeks ago, and I recorded that. So after the end of this session, I'll give you the recording so that you can see that, which is a bit more technical than I have time for today. And you can look at that whenever you have time to do that. So today I'll focus on a fairly relatively simple application, which means I'll connect to tables and not to ABL, because that would take a bit more time than we have. All right, a couple of slides so you get an idea on what Servoy is. So really the goal of Servoy is myself, I'm a lazy programmer, and I think that every programmer should be lazy. And my goal always when I was asked by my customers in the past to create software is how can I get away with as little code as possible? Because I knew that I would be done with the problem quickly, and also knew that they would change their mind anyway, so why create more lines of code than you need? And also the maintenance on less lines of code is much easier than writing a lot. So those were also the design goals when we started with Servoy, is how can we take away all the stuff that you're not interested in spending time on as a developer. And one of those things in today's market is all the different devices. And this is only the starting point of devices. The next generation of devices is already around the corner. Google Glass is a good example. We think in business applications, wearable devices are going to become a very important factor. So we've already started building in support for those devices into our platforms. If you want to hook up Google Glass, we're actually going to announce official support for it in a few weeks. That will also make it very easy to deploy existing apps that you have to those technologies. And always, where possible, to reuse the code and the UI definitions that you've already created, and also to reuse the functionality that you've already built in the past. So those are currently the different deployment technologies that we have. We have a native client. And the native client is a thin client of Servoy. It's native in the sense that it has full access to hardware, to printers, to drivers, etc. And it's thin in the sense that you don't need Citrix or terminal services to deploy it over the internet. So you can deploy that native client over the internet. You can take that same code base and deploy it through the browser, support all the different browsers. And with Servoy, you do not have to write the HTML code yourselves. We do the data binding for you. We create HTML that is compatible with all the different browsers for you and make sure that it performs well in all the different browsers that are out there, including some browsers that developers hate, such as IE6 and 7, which our R&D guys hate as well, but because they address the issues in those browsers, you as a developer don't have to do that anymore. And then the mobile devices. The mobile device, you can deploy both our browser-based version, or we can compile a native application for you that has full hardware access, that can run offline, that can be deployed to app stores. So we'll try building an application for each of these target platforms in today's session, with your help. So what we're seeing increasingly, when we started Servoy was typically used as a full development suite. But in the past years, we're seeing more and more of the Servoy is being used for the front end of things. So that means that you have existing things in place. So you have existing Progress applications in place, you have existing .NET applications in place, and other technologies. And then with our business application framework, you can translate that to all the different devices that are out there in the market. Quick technical overview, and then we'll dive into the demo. How that is built up. First of all, the development suite of Servoy, just like Progress, it is based on Eclipse, so it will be quite familiar for you to use. It has all the debugging and testing tools built in. We are actually one of the first companies to allow remote debugging of mobile applications, so you can connect a mobile phone to your debugger inside Eclipse and step through your code and see if anything is going wrong, what is going wrong. We allow you to do code refactoring, even though the programming language is JavaScript, which is quite an achievement that we made. And of course, you can use all the stuff that you like in Eclipse. You can use your favorite fonts, colors, and version control tools to serve as very strong in team development. And if you need to work with a larger development team, you can connect to your SVN or to your subversion or to your Git. Repositories, we support all the popular versioning systems, and then also have the tools to do things like resolving conflicts, merging, branching, tagging, release management, all those aspects. Then we have the foundation layer. This is to deploy and manage the applications that you create with Servoy. You can either deploy it in a cloud-based environment, or if you want, you can still deploy it on premises as well, and you can deploy it within an existing Progress environment. So Servoy for deployment, all that's required is a standard Java application server, so that can be Tomcat, can be a JBoss instance, it doesn't matter. Or you can use our standard application server that ships with the product. You can scale up the environment quite easily, so there's clustering and load balancing built into the technology as well. Then we have the integration layer, and this allows you to integrate with stuff that you already have. This is also where you do the integration with progress that I'll discuss a bit more in detail in one of the next slides. But you can also integrate with web services. We have native bi-directional REST support, so everything you write in Svirovoy is also a web service, and you can also easily consume web services. For example, if you already have some REST functions in progress, you can hook them up quite easily to Svirovoy. And then we have a series of frameworks in the foundation layer that allow you to develop applications a lot quicker with standard components that we make for you. Last but not least, Svirovoy also has a customization layer that lives here within your application. And the customization layer allows you to change applications while they are running. So typically that is used to let the end user be in control. So the end user, for example, allow him to manage his own screen, so to manage his grid controls, which columns does he want, store that as a user property in the database within your application. This is how the architecture looks like. On the back end, you can connect to your progress database or to any other relational database. We also have support for Oracle, SQL Server, MySQL, PostgreSQL, so you can also mix databases. So you could say I have my orders in progress and I have my customers in Oracle and still join that in a single application and program against it in an easy fashion in Svirovoy. And you can also hook up to progress business logic and deploy it to the different client technologies as necessary. So Svirovoy really gives you an end-to-end solution to design, develop, integrate the full circle of getting applications, modern applications, from progress to your browser and to mobile devices. So a quick slide on Svirovoy for progress. First of all, we've seen that developers can reuse the skills they already have. The way of programming in Svirovoy is very similar to progress. If you write any business logic on the Svirovoy side, it's in JavaScript, but it's easy to learn for progress developers. And you can connect to what you already have in progress. So there are two ways to connect to progress. One is through REST, so if you're on a newer version of progress and you have REST enabled, then you can connect to that and consume those services within Svirovoy. Or you can use the JDBC driver that we've developed with a company in Romania. And that JDBC driver exposes ABL, so dot, somebody calls that .p. I'm not sure what it means, .p. Does it mean anything to you guys? Doesn't? Okay. .p business logic to Svirovoy. That means that you can expose also views and any ABL that returns data sets or multiple data sets straight into your applications. So let's dive into, so this is the driver built by Marion EDU. And that allows you to use Svirovoy directly as a front end, also to older progress environments. You can also connect to back to version 10.1 and newer. All right, time for some real action. Any questions so far? We've all gone very quiet. Is it too much? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so. This is the IDE in Svirovoy. What I want to do is on the web, before I dive into mobile, I'll do a quick web application demo. And typically, if you develop a real life application, you would do that using a series of frameworks that we also develop, which also make the application look much nicer and more responsive and those kind of things. But before I do that, I'll first create a very bare bones application because that gives you more insight in what is happening under the hood. So I'll go ahead and do the traditional customers, orders, order details demo so you get a quick overview of how that works, and then I'll show it inside a framework, and then we'll move into a mobile, building a mobile application. All right. So I'll go ahead and I'll call it bug. So I've created an empty, in sort of way that's called a solution. So a solution is the container for an application. But a solution can also inherit a solution, which can inherit a solution and can even cross-inherit. So it is completely object-oriented. Effectively, everything you see here is technically an object. But we've laid it out in such a way that it is a bit more straightforward than purely object orientation to understand. So let's say that you want to start by building a couple of forms. That's what you do here. Let me actually quickly point back to where you connect to your database. That's right here. So if you want to hook up to a new database, you simply go in here and point it to your Progress database. So this specific one is using Postgres, a different database. You point it to the driver, username and password, and the location of the database, in my case localhost, and you're all set to start using the database engine. So let's go ahead and build a form. So you can pick a base table to base it on. In this case, we'll just build it on customers. You can use a style sheet for the base look and feel of the form. And then you can go ahead and say you would like a couple of columns. I'd like them horizontal. And then you can start designing your form. So the form design in Servo is very visual, as you can see. So you can simply drag objects around. There'll be guides and grids to help you do that. And the testing clients are built in. So if you want to see where you are with your application, in Servo, everything you do is always compiled. So there's no need to go and say, I need to compile my application now to be able to see it. It is already compiled as you are working in real time. So if you'd like to see this in the native client, we can simply start a debug client. So this is the native client within Servoy and start using the app. And we can also fire up a browser-based client by hitting the web client button, and this will fire up the browser version of Servoy. In the browser, as you can see here at the bottom, in this case, I've set it up to use paging. If you use a grid control in Servo, you can either have a scroll bar or paging. So depending on what type of app you're building, you can choose. It's Servo is aware of the available height. So if I would change the height here, and then you'll see that it redraws the screen on the fly using AJAX calls, and then it comes back and re-renders the user interface as necessary. So you also get things like you can drag columns around is standard behavior. If you click, it does a sort on the column. That sort is done actually by the database. So it does an AJAX call to the server. Server does to the database, and it sends back the sorted data to the user. That means that because it's done by the database, it also works very well with very large data sets. Because only the data that is visible is being sent over the line to the user, not everything that is the result of the query on the database end. And the same applies when Servoy is querying your Progress database. We only query the data that is necessary for the display or for whatever code you're using. We don't query everything and suck it into memory to process it. So that makes the database load. Most DBAs are very happy with Servoy because we only go out and get the columns that we need. So also if you're in a grid like this with four columns, we do not select all the other columns in the select statement, but only the ones that you're going to display. So let's say we also want a detail view. Is it easy to understand until now, or should I go back and do it again? No, this is doable? Okay. All right. Then I'll go in and say I also want a detail form, customer's detail. And here, I'll just drop in a bunch more columns and say I want them with labels and not horizontal. So this is more a detail view that we're creating now. So you can go in and easily design the user interface. So organize whatever you want. And there's a lot of utils and controls to make it very easy to do that in a quick and easy fashion. That's it. So now I have a detail form, and of course, now we would like to be able to navigate from this grid control to the detail form. So what I'll do is I'll just drop in a button in front here and say, somebody clicks on this button, we'd like to show the details. So let's make this a little bit smaller. I'll just put an arrow on it. So that is the click event of the button. The programming is in JavaScript, but you'll notice that we have a lot of things that are familiar from other object-oriented environments, that you can scope things. So you can say, in what scope is this going to run? And is it going to be public, private, or protected when you're creating your code? Now we can go in here and write out the code to go to that form. So if you already know Servoy, then you can just type code, and it has code completion, so it makes it easy to find your way around. If you don't, then you can simply click on objects, and they will show you what they can do for you. So in this case, we want to go to the customer detail form, and you would like that form to be displayed. So you just double-click on that function, and it will generate the code for me. And as you can see, the option here was that you can also pass it to a specific window object. So if you're in a multi-window environment, then you can send it to a different window.
Why does it say show details? Is that the function that you get when you...
I named it this way when I created it.
Oh, that's what you named it.
Yeah. So this could be anything.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's it. We now have the link between the two, and we can go back to our running client. And you'll notice that I didn't kill the client. The client remains connected to the live instance. So as we make changes, you see them in real time in your environment. So if I go here to customer's detail, for example, and I move this field to the bottom, and I hit save, then you see it in real time in your running client as well. And if I go back and say undo this and save that, then it's back to its original position. So this allows you to very interactively develop forms, because you can see in real time what the effect is going to be in your running application, including in browsers. So even in the browser, while the application continues to run, you can test and debug the application and see your changes happening in real time in it. So you, in this browser, if I would go back in into my IDE and move this field over here and go back to my browser, you'll see that this field also moved. There's no reload involved. Using the AJAX connection that it has with the app server, we can push incremental DOM objects to the browser. Okay, so this is all fun, but now we would also like to see some orders with the customers. You would like to see a master detail relationship. So let's go ahead and start by building the order form. So I'll point to the orders table now. And I'll say I'd like to see the order ID, and this table is messy. Ship, name, date, and country. I'm just picking some random columns. Hopefully they contain some data. You can also set the default size of forms. So by default, I would like to have it this size. And we now have an orders form. But this orders form, if I would open it up in the smart client, I can go here in the window menu. It contains all the orders. What we want to do is we want to see it in the context of the customer. And to do that in Servoy, you define a relation. So we'll go back here and say, on customer's detail, we'd like to create a relation between the customer object and the orders. You can have multiple keys, as you can see. You can, in fact, join across databases here. So in this, this is the place where you could join between Progress and Oracle, if that's what you want to do. You can have as many keys as you want to. The type of join, operator, etc., can all be set. So we have a relation now. Once we have this relation, we can go and put in a tab panel control and say we would like to see the orders form filtered through this customers to orders relationship. Pull that in. So the tap panel control and servo is also used to reuse existing forms. So we can go in and say, that's where we want it, and we would like to anchor it maybe to the right and to the bottom as well, so it can grow automatically. Let's see where it was anchoring. Anchoring to the bottom. Okay. So that's it. We're now, if you browse through the customers, you can see the corresponding orders of that specific client. And this is all getting data live out of the database. We can take it a step further and say we would also like to see the contents of every order, so the order details, by going in and saying another form, and we would like to point it to order details. And let's say that we would like just everything. Maybe make this a little bit smaller. It's a bit big. That, or maybe not that small. So we have orders now and order details, and now we would like to define the relation between those two. So the relation between orders and order details, just like we did before. So go in here, go into order details, and say the order ID equals the order ID. That's it. We have that relationship. Now this orders form is already a grid control, so it's repeating a line for every record in its body object. So we're going to throw in a footer part so that the details do not repeat every time. And in that footer part, we will put in everything else. So I'll go in here, open up the footer part, and say I want a tap control with my order details, pull that on, and place it in here. And maybe make it a little bit bigger. So now if you go back to our screen here, we have the customer, we have the orders, quite a few of orders, and the contents of those orders. If I go to a different order, as you can see, it will look up the order information on that order and load that into that screen. So because you've defined the relationship, Servo knows how to fetch which records out of your database.
Where do you change the customer? Or is this the detail?
So this is detail. So I could go back here and go to a different customer. Or I can browse up and down here.
Oh, okay.
But this is just a default object that you mainly use at development time.
Okay.
If you build a real app, and I'll show that in the frameworks in a second, you would build in your own navigation controls.
Okay. Yeah.
But all things like create, insert, delete, search are all available by default in Servo. So if I'd like to search for all... let's go back here, and I would like to search for all customers in France. I can just go into the find mode, which puts the form into a find state, and then I can say France, hit enter, and then it does the search for that in my backend database.
So that's built into the grid?
Yeah. The search is built into any form. Yeah.
Does the search have to be on a column, or could it be on another field in the customer table?
It could be on anything, yeah.
You have to specify it ahead of time when you build the grid, or since you're only passing the columns that you're specifying?
Yeah, so that you do that, yes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So actually in a real app, you typically have a search field, and then you would define in your logic through what...
Yeah, you have to pass that then as well.
That's right, yeah. Let's build a very simple piece of business logic so you get an idea on how that works in Servo. So let's see. Let's say that if the country is NL, the Netherlands, we would like to change this field into orange. Just random color I'm making up. So that's a business rule that does a little bit with data, because it looks at the contents of the column, and it does something with the user interface. It changes something on the UI level. So let's go ahead and do that. So I'll go into my customer detail, and I'm going to hook it up. You won't do this in real life, but this is just a fake business logic we're making. So I'm just good doing it the brute force way. So I'll say if somebody changes this field, you could potentially change it into NL. So I'm going to hook it up to the onData change event over here. And I'll say if country is NL, change the color. This is a new code convention that I've made up where you document your code inside your function names. It's not a broad set of users yet adopting it. And so we can now put in our business logic over here. As you can see, this event gets passed in the old value, the new value, and the event that triggered it. So if you want to do your UI level validation, you can build that in here as well. In this case, we would like to say if, and now we want to look inside the current record that we're looking at on screen. That's also an object in Servoy, the selected record object. And we want to look inside the country field, and then we want to compare it to a string. So we'll say dot, because Servoy understands that this is a string, it already has all the string functions for you in place when you're doing code completion. So it says equals ignore case is the one I want, some other string. So I want to compare it to NL. And if it is NL, then I want something to happen. And if it isn't, else, I want something else to happen. So if I go back here, what I want to change is the color of this object here. So I have to make sure that it has a name filled in. Otherwise, I can't reference it very easily. So I'll just go in here and say I'll call it field country.
Wasn't country the name of the field?
Of the column. So in Servoy, there's a separation between the data layer and the UI. So country is the data layer. And now we're talking to the UI, the user interface layer, which is separate.
Oh, okay, which didn't have a name.
Which didn't have a name,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I could give it the same name, but it could get confusing if you start naming objects the same.
So in Servoy, it's better to name it something different to distinguish it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can name them as you place them. Or you can leave them unnamed, because if you do not program against them, it's not necessary to name the objects. So let's go back to the code. Now, so if it is NL, we would like to change that specific field. It's here under elements, field country, and you can see all the stuff that you can change at runtime on this object. And as you can see, you can literally change anything at runtime in Servoy. So you can change the position of the cursor, if it's editable, if it's enabled, the colors, the font, the format, the placeholder text, if it's read-only or not, etc. And this also all works in a browser. So in HTML, you don't have to program your own HTML. We map all this to whatever HTML is necessary to make that magic work. So in this case, we just want the top one here, the background color. And we would like to change it to orange. Who knows the hex value for orange? I don't. So I'll just use the color picker. F8, not easy. And if it's not, then we'll change it back to white. So I'll go in and say elements.field.bgColor equals white, which I happen to know. So that's it. That's the rule to change the color based on the contents of the field. And we could also go ahead and hook it up to the on-record selection event. See if I can actually read this. It's always nice to have a higher resolution screen when you're in Eclipse, isn't it? On-record selection. If you'd like to run this as well. So that's it. There's our business logic running. If I change it, it changes it out to orange and vice versa. So as you can see, simple to do, simple to hook up. This is now running in the native client, so this is a native Windows client. Let's go to our browser, see if it works here. I'll just go ahead and change this one to NL. So now we're running inside the web browser, and as soon as you make a change, this piece of business logic runs. And
so So you don't even have to leave the field for it to change?
No. That's right. This is the on. So because this is on.
It's all JavaScript.
Yeah, so this is all JavaScript. It does an Ajax call in the background. So in this case, the business rule runs server side. So the browser, all it does is it sends the event to the application server. The server says, oh, this changed. And because this business rule is changing the UI, I need to push you an incremental snippet of DOM. And it pushes only the change to the browser. So the communication on the line is very low. It doesn't update the entire HTML of the page, but just that DOM snippet.
Right.
And that is then applied browser side. So it's very lightweight server side and browser side.
But it did make a round trip, but just that piece of information.
That's right, yeah. So that's a quick, if you would build from scratch overview. Now, in real life, you wouldn't do it this way because you would use a series of frameworks. So let's go ahead and do that quickly and then dive into mobile. Let's close this off. So one of the frameworks that a lot of our customers use is called the navigation framework. And the navigation framework consists of multi-tenancy components, provisioning components, security components, and also a broad set of functionality that is already ready to use out of the box. And it comes with a couple of different look and feels that are already set up. And you can easily plug in any look and feel to it. So if as an organization you would like to roll your own look and feel of your application, because they're all pluggable, it's very easy to plug in your own look and feel into your app. So to sort of quickly repeat what we just did, how you would build the same customers form inside these frameworks is actually very similar, because you would go in and say, I'm going to create a form against my customers object. I'll just call it demo. And now instead of moving forward here, I'm going to say this one extends an existing form.
Can the form be based on multiple tables?
Yes, yeah, you can do that as well. Yeah. Or on nothing, or on views, or on business logic, or on web services. Yeah. So in this case, what I'll do if I'm using a framework is I will inherit the framework as my base form. And that means that I inherit all the functionality out of a base form. You'll see that every screen has a search bar in it, so if you have a lot of objects, that is easy to go and find your base form. So once I inherit this base form, a lot of functions, as you can see here on the right, are already preloaded because of the inheritance. So that makes it much easier to program large and complex applications. So once I've done this, I can now test it out by firing this framework up. And as you can see, this already looks much more like a finished application. So it has a user login, is already built into it. And once I log in, so it's fully multi-tenant. It's actually multi-tenant, so you can have multiple tenants within tenants. And it will load. It will create menus depending on the rights of the user, so depending on what modules is this user allowed to use. It will create these menus on the fly. And then the program that we just created, the customer's detail form, is now over here. So the form creation is still the same, but you inherit a lot of functionality in the frameworks, including record navigation, including search, including document management on every record, where you can check in and connect documents to your forms. You get things like favorites, so you can have favorite screens where the developers or the end users work very often. As you can see, it's an SDI, but with multiple tabs that you can have open at the same time, so the user can work in multiple programs simultaneously and quickly click back to where he was.
So all these components are included in the navigation framework?
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so that means that as a developer, you still focus on developing the functionality, so your UI and your business logic, and you inherit all the standard things like editing, like search, like configuration, etc.
And the favorites down below, that's part of it?
Yeah, favorites, bookmarking of records. You can store found sets. So if for example, you do a search, so let's say that I
It'll save your searches.
That's right, yeah. So you can save your searches as your favorites. I think this program doesn't have that configured. This one probably has. So search options, yeah. So this one has a save. So these bars over here are also configurable. So you can have power users that configure the application for your user, and they can then configure which options are available to which programs within your environment. And to what users, yeah.
So you may not want to play or update or anything.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, so there's also a full security framework in it, yeah. That can be either straightforward, but it could also be conditional. You could also say, these group of users cannot see orders if the value is more than 1,000.
But is that in the JavaScript? Because someone could modify the JavaScript front end.
Yeah, but the programming language in Servoy is JavaScript.
Yeah.
When you deploy it to a browser, it runs server side, so it's never deployed to the browser.
Oh, so they don't see that. That JavaScript is on.
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
And if you're running our native client, it is pre-compiled to bytecode, similar to what Progress does.
Okay.
So it's compiled code at runtime.
Okay. Thank you.
So this is very quickly. I can dive a bit deeper into these frameworks after mobile, because I promised you guys to also do mobile. This is my third demo. After this, we'll have some time to... I mean, this is a very broad set of functionality. So it's difficult to discuss in 5 minutes. Because time-wise, I think we have about 20 minutes left.
Yep.
Okay, so we're fine. All right, let's go to mobile. So everything I just showed, you could also deploy to a mobile device. However, the downside of that is that the UIs I was creating are typically more oriented towards a desktop user, towards a mouse-based device. So very often, if you go target mobile devices, you will want to specifically use mobile frameworks that are optimized for touch, that are optimized to run offline, that have access to native hardware. So we've built that into the very same IDE as well. So although you will typically have a different user experience towards a mobile user, you're still inside the same IDE. You can still reuse your logic that you're creating between the two environments and deploy that to mobile devices. So let's go ahead and do that. So every mobile application consists of two parts. And that is the part that runs on the mobile device. And that's the part that runs server-side. So the part that runs server-side is the part that handles the security, the authentication, what data is going to go offline, if you synchronize data back, how are you going to pass that back to your server. And that is all deployed as a web service, so you can run that inside your existing Progress environment if you want to, or you can run it on a Servoy-based application server. So building mobile forms, I'll give you a quick example. When you've set your editor to be mobile optimized, it will display the default controls that you get to build mobile user interfaces. So that's buttons, lists, grids, radios, checkboxes, etc. And by default, it has a standard look and feel, but of course you can modify by modifying the style sheet that it is using to any type of look and feel that you'd like to use. Yeah.
Where did you specify mobile just now? You said that those are now the widgets that are for mobile.
Yeah, because this app that I just opened, if you look over here, the solution type is mobile.
Oh, okay.
So then it also uses the mobile UI components.
I must have missed it. You specified it somewhere?
No, I just opened this existing app.
Oh, it's existing. Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. So now you can go in and say we would like a field. You can just drag it in. Or I would like maybe a heading. Is it a heading? Oh, it's a button. A heading at the top, a footer at the bottom. Maybe a date field, some radio buttons going on, and then you can do the data binding. So the data binding is simply saying this field has to hook up to a specific column. So let's say to a company name, then you can also have a data provider for the title text. So if you go in here, your title can be driven by a column. It can be hard-coded, like in this case, company name. And you can also hook it up to I18N, which is short for internationalization. And that means that you can make them multilingual. So everything in Servoy can be made multilingual simply by hooking up the I18N layer. And then you can specify for what language you're putting in the strings. And you
Dutch.
Can just...
You can do
Dutch. You can do Dutch, hopefully. Yeah, you can do Dutch. And you can also make it language and country specific. So if you say, I wish different English for the Canadians than for the USA citizens, then you can differentiate between those. You could even allow your end customer to put in their own strings. So if they say, we don't call our customer a customer, but something else, then they can modify themselves.
So does the browser tell the server which language to pick or something?
That's right, yeah. So when a user starts up his application, Servoy will detect the locale of the operating system and pass that to the app server. And the app server will try to match that with the locales available in the application. And there's also a fallback language. If your system is set to Spanish, but we don't have Spanish available, it will fall back to whatever fallback language you've defined. And that also means that as you roll out new versions and somebody forgot to translate new strings, it will use the fallback language so it doesn't display empty labels inside your application, but it will display the fallback. The same for radios. You can hook that up to a data provider. If you're looking at date pickers, when it gets deployed, it uses the native date picker of the mobile device. If you're on iOS, it uses Apple's date picker. If you're on Android, it uses Android's date picker automatically. So that's, as you can see, pretty straightforward to build those forms. So I've taken the liberty and sake of time to pre-build a couple of forms. So I have a form here on companies. So that's a list view here going on the contacts table. On the companies table, I have the same on contact, a detail view. I have an edit form where you can actually make a change. So here there's a save button that when you tap on it, it does a save. And a few more forms. This is pretty straightforward five-form app that you could literally build in less than an hour in Servoy. And then, of course, the next step in building a mobile app is testing it. And testing with mobile is typically done in two stages. First, you test it on your local computer inside the browser to do first-level testing to find out, does it work? Does it behave as I expect? And then the next testing level you always want to do is to deploy it to an actual mobile device. Because there may always be differences between, you know, your browser trying to simulate whatever is native on the mobile versus the mobile. So those are the two steps that you would go through. So let's quickly do that. So go ahead and fire up this mobile application. So this will now compile the mobile application, and then it will fire up the server-side solution and connect it to the debuggers. We're all still hooked up to the debug environment with this environment. So we can now go in and launch the app. We can sync the application so that synchronizes it with the latest set of data. Let's see if I have that here.
Is that an option to, so you always store a local copy of the records in the local database?
Yeah, so you can work offline and online. In this case, this application works offline. So it has done a sync, and all the data is now inside the application itself. So I could go completely off the grid and still use the application.
And then when you're done,
you can develop this in an airplane without connection?
Yeah.
Are you talking about development, or are you talking about using?
Both.
Yeah. So if I have my iPhone in the browser, I hit the do something. Close the browser, open it up again, they still keep the data persistent?
Yes. Yeah. But it's not in the browser because it compiles to a native app on iOS. So it has its own app on your phone. And when you close it and you reopen it, the data is still there, including the changes that you made.
Use it for a database on the main device.
So So we have built, we use local storage as the database. Or if you need big tables, then you can go SQLite. But the default is local storage. Yeah. And local storage means you can go up to about 10,000 rows. If you need more, you have to go to SQLite. Yeah. But you can do both. So let's go ahead and fire up the back office. Let's see if that works. Localhost, this should be okay. Yeah. And then after that, I'll go ahead and compile it as a native application. So now we're still testing it in the browser as an HTML5 app. So here we have a back office guy running the same data set, but this one is connected live to the database. This one is disconnected. So if this guy makes a change, he doesn't see it until we synchronize the information, right? So this guy is now looking at the company BCA, and there are two guys working for BCA, Jan Eleman and Test Pries, as you can see. And if I go in and change this, so I'll change this to my estimated colleague, Jonathan. Is he in? Jonathan? Oh, there he is. You're quiet today, Jonathan. It's unusual.
Trying not to get in trouble.
Yeah. Right, so I'm changing this offline, so this is disconnected from my app server completely. So when I hit save, there's no change reflected in my backend application. This has a live connection to the database. If it would change the database, so let's go ahead and do the sync. And typically this is where my demo fails, but not today. I'm lucky today. You see the live change in the database. Right, so
it was your choice to manually sync. You designed it that way. You could have had it live.
Yes, right. Yeah. So you can synchronize whenever you want to. So you could say, I will synchronize at the moment that you hit save. Or you can say, I will attempt to synchronize when you hit save, so that if I do have a connection, it goes straight into my back office. But if I don't, I will just store it locally.
Is there some similar facility available to a Windows system that might be running this, or does that only run through the browser?
This application?
Yeah, can you run, it's basically an app that would run on the Windows box as opposed to on an iPhone.
Oh yeah, you could run this, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like I'm doing right now. So now it is running as a browser app in Chrome.
But it can run, so you can sync it and go offline.
Yeah.
So even in browser, it's still not clear to me if it's a standalone application or it's a web app.
It's both. A standalone at both. So now it's a web application. But now let's go ahead and make it native. So let's do that. Let's see if that part of my demo works or if something will crash now. So let's pretend we've tested it, we're happy with the app, and we're ready to ship it to the customer or test it on a native mobile device. Then what you do in Servoy is you right-click on the application and you say export, and you say mobile export. If you do a mobile export, it will generate and compile to a native application. And the first thing it will ask you is where is my app server going to be? So if I need to synchronize, who am I going to talk to? So you can pre-configure that URL so that it gets compiled into your application, or you could put it in a configuration screen within your app. So if you say, I deploy to a lot of customers and each has their own app server, then your config screen can have an IP address or a server name where they synchronize with. So then you can either export it as a WAR file, and that means that you're going to deploy it as a web application. So not as a native app, or you can say I'd like to compile it to a native application, and for compiling we use PhoneGap build, if I remember the password correctly. So what PhoneGap build does is they run all the SDKs for you. So you could perfectly still do this on your local machine, but then you would have to install Android SDK, Apple's SDK, you need a Mac for Apple's SDK, and PhoneGap build from Adobe. I don't remember my password.
That's from Adobe?
Yeah, so what PhoneGap build from Adobe does is they have a whole server farm with all those SDKs set up, we ship it in a format that they understand to them. They compile it in real time for you, and then they give you back the compiled applications. You can upload your developer certificates to them. So if you want to publish the application under your own name in App Stores, then you can simply upload your certificates to.
Is that separate licensing fee?
Yeah, they charge nothing if you publish a source code, or I think about $10 a month.
Adobe?
Yeah. So typically, you know, if you of course you can still install the SDKs if you want to. So if you I prefer to not install the SDKs because it's a nightmare to manage and maintain SDKs, but you can still do that.
So it's worth it to have them do it.
It's worth having them do that, yeah. So I'll give it a name.
Does it generate Objective-C code, or it's a wrapper that has Java sort of?
It's a combination. It's a combination, yeah. So a large part is native. So the hardware integration layer is native. The storage layer is native. For the UI, we use HTML5. So that doesn't get cross-compiled to it. Then you can use your certificate, and you can define if it's a public application or not. And then we can go in. And now it's actually uploading the app we created to PhoneGap. Then PhoneGap will start compiling it. And we can watch it compile in real time if the internet behaves properly today.
Good luck.
Yeah, it's not very. So let's see. I think I am legacy, but I don't know. So there it is. It's building. iOS is red. It says you didn't provide a certificate. And Apple says, no certificate, no compile.
Android says,
we don't care. We will just build it for you. Whether it's a virus or not, we don't really care.
Yeah.
And then Windows Phone is being built. BlackBerry also refuses. Then there is something called HP. Does anybody know what HP is?
Printers.
They have printers, do they?
I didn't have this app run on printers. Wow.
And there is Symbian. So now if you want to test this app, you simply scan this code and it will download the app to your phone, or you can download it here by clicking, and then it will download the compiled Android APK, and you can distribute it either through an app store or just email it to your users or put it on a website and you can start using it. So that's building up a mobile application. Any questions on mobile?
I have a question not specific to mobile, but if you have, how do you handle conflict resolution of the data? So you were doing your changes offline.
Yeah.
Somebody else changed the record underneath you.
Yeah, that's a good question. So that's what was done in the server solution. So let's go ahead and open that up. So the server solution is what sits in between your mobile app and your database. And in here, you define how updates are done. So here's the update function. So it's actually just a REST web service that gets called by the mobile device. And then here, it uses a function. So in this case, there is no conflict resolution at all, as you can see. It just says copy matching fields. And it just overrides whatever is in your backend with what it receives from the service. So typically, right here is where you would write your conflict resolution code, where you could say, you know, if there's a difference or if somebody else also made a change, then do whatever you want it to do. I can email it. Who wants to try it?
I mean, scanning that thing, that looks a little bit difficult or not.
Yep.
No.
From such a big screen?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have
Yeah, we have to have Android. He needs to build iOS for all of us.
Yeah.
I have Android.
He's got
it. Yeah, I have to see if my developer key is still in here. I don't know.
Scan that to a barcode.
ball there.
We try.
So what is the password? So you could also point your, if you want to try it in the browser of your mobile, you can point it to my IP address, which is... Good old MS-DOS is still here. So you can point it right here. Copy. 172.16.156.159.8080/servoy_mobile. And something went wrong. Servoy sample mobile. Oh, that's easy. It didn't.
Yeah.
It was just a typo.
Wow.
That doesn't count.
Yeah.
Yes, if you put this into a browser, then you should be able to use it.
Can
you
talk about the licensing
model,
please?
Yes and no.
He gave it to you for free.
He told me to blow his system.
He did, but I wanted to know what I get for free and what I got to pay
for. Not working.
Well, that should be it.
So for example, mobile.
It's too big. It could be that there are different multiple networks here. So the Servoy starts for free with a community edition, and then depending on help and modules that you need, there can be licensed components as well.
What's a community edition?
It's what you download from our website.
None of the frameworks are there that you showed.
No, so all the mobile stuff I just built, you can build with the community edition. And the first part of my demo, you can build as well. But the middle part, where we were working in a navigation framework, that is not part of the community edition.
Do you license by deployment, or is it developer license with royalty-free deployment?
It's by deployment. So developer is always free, and deployment, if you use the frameworks, is paid for.
Is it by user, by deployment? So if I take it, I build something for a customer specific. I'm not an ISV, I'm not building applications that I'm reselling,
right.
But if I take the framework, I go to a customer, I say, here's this cool framework, we can get you out, mobile, web,
yep.
Everything quickly. Is it, there are 20 users, it's 20 times the number, it's one deployment, it's one times the number, how is that licensed?
It depends. So we do have traditional licensing per user, but we also have licensing that is specific to your situation. Any other questions? Are the Dutch going to beat the Spanish on Friday?
Nice dinner, isn't it?
Is that the question we're asking you?
Well, wish you luck.
Everybody say one. Now
we need more.
So are you going to the Brazil?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Real quickly before everyone.